The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and went as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country of Judah. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave a loud cry and said, "Of all women you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? From the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Yes, blessed is she who believed that the promise made her by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exults in God my Savior, because he has looked upon his lowly handmaid. Yes, from this day forward, all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name, and his mercy reaches from age to age for those who fear him. He has shown the power of his arm. He has routed the proud of heart. He has pulled down princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, the rich sent empty away. He has come to the help of Israel his servant, mindful of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, of his mercy to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then went back home. The Gospel of the Lord. There's an old story, you may have heard it before, of a workman on a scaffolding high above the nave of a cathedral who looked down and saw a woman praying before a statue of Our Lady. As a joke, the workman whispered, "Woman, this is Jesus." The woman ignored him. The workman whispered again, more loudly, "Woman, this is Jesus." Again, the woman ignored him. Finally, he said aloud, "Woman, don't you hear me? This is Jesus." At that point, the woman looked up at the crucifix and said, "Be quiet now, Jesus. I'm talking to your mother." Our Catholic tradition regards Mary in a way that other parts of the Christian tradition do not. And this sometimes causes people to ask questions. If you find yourself in an ecumenical group, for example, you may well find our Protestant brothers and sisters asking questions about Mary. And a lot of people do think that devotion to the Mother of God is at best questionable and at worst idolatrous. One good explanation for including a proper devotion to Mary is that in so doing, the Catholic tradition is attempting to tell the full story, to proclaim the full gospel. But, you may ask, isn't the gospel all about Jesus of Nazareth and what he did and taught? Well, yes, it is. But also, no, that isn't the complete story. The gospel is about Jesus in the same way that the fall is about Adam. As St. Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "As all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ." That is why we call Jesus the new Adam. But, of course, as soon as we say that, we become aware of a missing link. The story of the fall is not only the story of Adam, but it is the story of Adam and Eve. If Jesus is the new Adam, who then is the new Eve? And the answer, of course, is that Mary is the new Eve. Just as the full story of our fall cannot be told without Eve, so the full story of our redemption cannot be told without Mary. There are many revealing parallels between the old Adam and Eve on the one hand and the new Adam and Eve on the other. Here are some of them. In the old order, the woman, Eve, came from the body of the man, Adam. In the new order, the man, Jesus, comes from the body of the woman, Mary. In the old order, the woman Eve first disobeyed God and led the man Adam to do the same. In the new order, the woman Mary first said yes to God and brought up Jesus to do the same. We may say that Adam and Eve had a good time disobeying God. Jesus and Mary, however, suffered together in doing God's will. The sword of sorrow pierced both their hearts equally. In the old order, Adam and Eve shared immediately in the resulting consequences and punishments of the fall. In the new order, similarly, both Jesus and Mary share immediately in the resulting consequences and blessings of the redemption, that is, the fullness of life with God. Jesus through the ascension, and Mary through the assumption. So let's think for a moment about the doctrine of the assumption. The doctrine of the assumption teaches that at the end of her earthly existence, Our Lady was taken up or assumed body and soul into heaven. Legends of her miraculous preservation from death began to appear in the 5th century and have been the cause of discussion and argument for a long time since. To begin with, some taught that she was bodily taken to heaven, whilst others restricted the doctrine to bodily incorruption whilst her soul went to heaven. By AD 813, the Assumption was accepted as an official festival in Western Christendom, and by the 13th century, the earlier caution about the bodily assumption disappeared. Through the 17th and 18th centuries, theologians generally regarded the doctrine as being acceptable as an article of piety rather than as an article of faith. Finally, for Catholics, the doctrine of the Assumption was declared to be an article of faith by Pope Pius XII in 1950. So we see how Christian doctrine does actually develop and evolve down the years. The Assumption is one of those old traditions of the Church which makes a great deal of sense. If we look for scriptural evidence for the idea of bodily assumption, there are two particular examples in the Old Testament which stand out, namely the stories of Enoch and Elijah. They were considered worthy to be taken up into heaven without experiencing death. We read that Enoch walked with God, then was no more because God took him. The story of Elijah, I'm sure, is familiar to most of us. He was taken up into heaven in the whirlwind after the appearance of the horses and chariot of fire. Now, given these two stories from the Old Testament, the question has to be asked, why should the mother of our Lord himself not be granted a similar honor, since the part she played was so very important, absolutely central to the scheme of our redemption? She's not equal with Jesus, clearly, because Jesus is the Son of God, but the part she played, nevertheless, as the new Eve, is central. The great thing about the doctrine of the Assumption is that in it we see the collaboration of man and woman in the work of our salvation, all the way from the fall to the redemption. And then we see it moving on to a sharing in the fruit of redemption in heaven. So you could say that the Assumption of Mary helps to balance the ascension of Jesus in the sense that the man Jesus and the woman Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, are both with God and thus together complete the story of redemption. Seen in that light, the Assumption becomes the ultimate proof of the equality of man and woman before God, as well as showing the sacredness and eternal destiny of the human body. We must remember that the Christian faith teaches that there will be a resurrection of the body. It's not just that we don't just teach that the soul goes to heaven, the soul does go to heaven, but one day there will be a new resurrection body. Hence the importance of bodily assumption, body and soul. The Assumption then enables us to tell the full story, the full gospel, that salvation is for all people, male and female, and for the whole person, body and soul. The old Adam and the old Eve have been redeemed by the new Adam and the new Eve. And that, dear brothers and sisters, is what we are celebrating today.